The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher V'Chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Pevav. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Terechenu B'Gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fu'ash Shelema Yosef ben Sarah V'Sarah Bat Rachel. Inna refana lahem, inna refana lahem, inna refana lahem. Fata nefesh ufuat agum fuatam k'rabadabo v'chin yirason. Then Amar Amen. We begin today's daf on Pei Amud Bet, and we are six lines from the bottom, the last word on the line, or actually the beginning of the line. Amar Le Rava Le Bere De Rav Chaya Bar Abin. Rava tells the son of Rav Chaya Bar Abin, Ta, come, Emalach Milta. I will tell you a word halacha Me'al Yuta from the choice words. Dava Amar Abuch, that your father used to say. Had Amar Shmuel, that which Shmuel said, Hamucher Shtar Chov Lahaviro. Person sells a Shtar Chov to his friend, which means he has a Shtar, and the Shtar says, you know, the Lovei owes me $1,000. He has the Shtar in his hand. He's allowed to sell it. He sells it to somebody else, Vehazar Umahalo. And then he goes to the Lovei and he says, Amuchel you. So now this guy's holding a Shtar. He bought a shtar, it's worthless now. So the din is mahul, which means it's mahul, which means the seller of the shtar, which is really the original malveh, is allowed to be mochel, the loan. And therefore now when this guy bought the shtar, he cannot go get his payment. The mechila is a mechila. So that she writes that v'chazar u'machul ha'mochir shu malveh mahalul lev mahul. Te'amal le'loveh le'lokeyach lav ba'ad davarim didi'at. Exactly. When the buyer of the shtar comes along to the loveh and says, hey, I want to get paid. The loveh could tell him, I have nothing to do with you. I didn't borrow money from you. I have nothing to do with you. I was dealing with the malveh. The malveh told me I'm off the hook. So the deen is not only can the original malveh be mohel alone, va'afilu yoresh mohel. Even the yoresh, which means, let's say now, the original malveh died. So now, the yorshim usually have those shtarot. So the original malveh sold the shtar. Now the yoresh can come along and say, we're mohel. And therefore the guy holding the shtar now doesn't get anything. So modeh Shmuel, however, agrees, b'mechaneset shtar chov leba'ala. By a case of a marriage, where a lady, let's say, brings a shtar chov into the marriage. Let's say she got a certain money owed to her, so she has a shtar. So she goes and gives it to the husband. V'chazra u'machalato. And then she goes along as mohel the loveh. She'en u'machul. In that case, the wife cannot be mohel. Why? V'pnei she'yado ki'yada. Because he's partly his also. Because this is like nechse melog. Nechse melog, he has rights to eat the perot. So therefore, how could you sell something where I'm a part owner? Like we learned earlier, that they're considered partners on the nechse melog. So therefore, when it comes to a marriage, this deen does not apply. Comes the Gemara continues. Karifte de Rav Nachman, the relatives of Rav Nachman, zavinta liktubata betobat hana'a. Okay, so you had a lady. She sold her ketubah when she was still married, the rights to the ketubah to somebody else. That's a risk you're taking. Because in the event that, let's say, the lady dies first, and goes to the husband. So the guy that buys the ketubah doesn't get anything. He's banking that there's either going to be the husband's going to die first or they're going to get divorced. And therefore, they're buying the rights to take the ketubah. Okay, so she sold those rights, as a matter of fact. So Gemara says, Kerefted Rav Nachman, the relative of Rav Nachman, she was one of the ladies, Zavinta liktubata, she sold the ketubah betubat hana. Tubat hana means for a little hana'ah. Because again, you can't get a high price for it, because again, it's a risk. So therefore, as she says, Tuvatana means, Devar Muat,
a small amount of money she sold it for. Yes, she got money up front, and she's happy. And the guy's buying the risk that he might get paid the ketubah. Now what happened? Igarsha. Oh, so now there was a divorce. Okay, divorce now is going to be a payment. So therefore, the one who bought the ketubah, the kaddish, got paid. Vishchiva. Oh, but then she died. So now, once she dies, the Yorshim come in, which means the husband's side comes in to take the ketubah. Well, not the husband's side, because they got divorced, but the Yorshim, and want the ketubah. Atu katab'e la libarta. So what happened? There was a daughter involved in this story. The daughter was the only heir. So she's coming along and says, my mother died, ketubah belongs to me. And these guys that bought the ketubah, I come along and say, hold it, your mother sold it to us, we get the ketubah. Rashi, bottom Rashi. Atu tav'ed la libarta. Barta is a daughter. Atu likuchot. וכאן תבעי לה לברתה הבאה לגבות כתובת אמא מאביה ונראה שכתובה מכוח אמא ואלו באים ליטול אותה ממנה לומר אם היא מכרה לנו. The daughter is coming along and saying, we inherit. This guy is coming along and saying, what are you talking about? Your mother sold it to us. We get it. So what to do? אמר לו רב נחמן, לקה דלסבא לעצה. Well, there's nobody over here that can give you good advice. He's trying to give advice. What's the advice he gave? He's giving advice to the daughter to get the money. How's he give advice? Tizil v'tihala lichtubata de'ima legabe abu. Mi mochel the rights to the ketubah that you're supposed to inherit from your mother. Mi mochel it back to your father. V'tirta mine, and then you'll inherit him when he dies. Didn't we learn that the inheritors also have the right to be mochel? Yeah, just like somebody's mocher shtar chov, just like he has a right to be mocher the chov, so to the inheritors have a right to be. So therefore, this lady she sold. So now the daughter is an inheritor, so she could be mocher. So they can come along and say the money that's supposed to come to us now from the ketubah, we mocher it back to our father. Now what's going to happen when the father dies? It'll go back to the daughter, which means the rabbi is giving a etzah. If she's not going to do anything, the creditors have a right over here, because the creditor bought the ketubah. So she says, we have the ketubah. So she's stuck. So they say, no problem. The rabbi's giving her a tzah. We'll tell you what to do. Say, I'm mohel the ketubah. There's no ketubah over here. The ketubah only comes if there's an obligation. But if the daughter comes along now and says, I'm mohel the ketubah. Her mother was supposed to get the ketubah. She's able to be mohel the ketubah, the inheritors. We're mohel it back to the father. Now the father has it. What's end up happening one day? Father will die. Well, the assets will end up going back to the daughter. But this is an advice to divert it away from the one that bought it. So comes the Gemara and says, Shama. So she accepted the advice. Azla, she went. Achilta. And she was more headed back to the father. Amar of Nachman. But Nachman didn't like what he did. He said, Asinu atzminu ke'orchei adayanim. He said, we turned ourselves into lawyers. Which means really, the rabbi is not supposed to be giving advice to the litigants. So he felt like, I shouldn't have done that. So Kazakhstan says, well, what did he think at the beginning? At the beginning, he gave her advice. Now he's regretting that he gave her advice. Well, what did he think at the beginning, and what did he think at the end? Well, it was Rav Nachman's relatives. And the pasuk says, do not hide yourself from your family, which is you got to help your family. So in the beginning, I figured that some v'sarchanu t'alam. So therefore, you got to give the family advice. Ulbesof savar adam hasuf shani. But then he said, "Yeah, you're right. But an important man like Rav Nachman is different because people are not going to understand if they see Rav Nachman giving advice to one of the litigants. Others are going to come to learn from him and give advice even where it's not a family member, which is asud." So therefore, he says, I shouldn't have done it because the Adam Hashu, you have the Marita Ayin factor, that the people are going to learn to help one of the litigants, even in the case where it's not a family relative. Comes the Gemara and continues. Gufa, we learned above. Amar Shemuel, Hamocher Shtar Chov Lechavero, like the case, he sells the Shtar Chov to his friend, Vechazar Umachalo, and then he's Mochel the Love, Mahul, Veafilu Yoresh Mochel. Even the inheritor, which means the malve dies, even his children have a right to be mochel the loan. Amar Avuna bered Rav Yeshua, If the one that buys the shtar is a smart guy, what will he do? Mekarkesh lezuze literally means he'll rattle some money, v'chetav leshtarab b'shme, and he'll have a new shtar written in his name. What is it saying over here? It's saying it like this. You have a case where the guy sold the shtar. Okay, the guy bought it, beautiful, now he's excited. They get paid the, you know, this debt. I bought the debt. Now, but there's a risk over here. Because this guy now can say the malveh that sold it, Mohail. Mohail is going to go, I want to get paid. Hey, I don't know who you are. The malveh was Mohail me. So the Gemara is figuring out a way, how could the guy who bought the shtar ensure he's going to get paid? Very simply. Let him now, after he bought the shtar, let him go to the loveh and give him some money. Give him some money, say, do me a favor. Write up a new shtar. Or write a shtar at least that says, because maybe you don't want to write a new shtar, and I'll tell you why you don't want a new shtar, that even if the guy's mohel, you're paying. Now, the guy who's, because he doesn't assume the guy's going to be mohel, everybody assumes the people are straight. So he says, listen, I'm getting a discount. Are you paying me, let's say you owed $10,000. Go ahead and give me $1,000. Give me $1,000. What do you mean $1,000 for? Just do me a favor. I'm the owner of the shtar now. Just to refer me a shtar over here, and in case this guy's mohel, you're not gonna, you're not gonna not pay me. So he said, okay, I got $1,000. I was planning on paying you that anyway. So now you're giving me a discount of $1,000. Because otherwise, if you don't do that, there could be a kinunya between the original malveh. Of course, the original malveh will come along and say, listen, you owe me $1,000,000. So you know what? I'm going to discount it over here. We'll go partners over here. Just pay me $500,000 under the table. I'll go sell the shtar. I'll be mohelet. So therefore, you won't have to pay it. So there could be chicory taking place over here. So I'm just giving advice to the buyer of the shtar hov. If you want to guarantee your position, go to the loveh and tell him, listen, I'm the new owner of the shtar here. Again, you have to assume that he's not assuming anybody's going to be mohel anything over here, because people are straight, you're assuming. So if he's going to give him the money, that's okay, write your new shtar. Now, the first point that you don't want to write a new shtar totally, because then already the second shtar, let's say, takes into effect, and you lose the likuhot from the earlier shtar. Because the earlier shtar is the more advantageous, because you can start going after property that was dated from the earlier shtar. If he's writing a new shtar now, it's today. So you lose all that ability to take likuhot from an earlier shtar. So therefore, all he was saying is not writing a new shtar. You're just writing a shtar that says, in the event that the guy's mohel, I'm paying you anyway. I'm not gonna not pay you. Okay. So therefore, you're working with the original shtar's strength. Okay. Let's read Rashi. V'ipikeyahu halokeyah. The guy who bought the shtar as a pikeyah is a smart guy. Mekarkeshel lezuzeh. Let him rattle some money. Lelove. Telelove. V'sochro bahen. Let him write a shtar in his name. Kodim shiasu kinunya bin shenehim. Before the original malveh and the loveh make a kinunya, a trickery between them. Okay, very good. Now, the mefarshim just point out over here, it's the Ritba, right, however he says it. Like I told you, you're writing a shtar, not a new shtar totally. You're writing an addendum to it, which is saying that if he's mohel, he's still going to pay. So he says, often say, because man she'en ha-malveh mohel, so long as the malveh was not mohel, yakol ha-lokeyach ligbot b'shtar ha-rishon. You could take it on the basis of the original star, because he wasn't mohel. V'yakol after trof karka. And you could even take karka that was from the dated star of the original one. Now, ha-shtar ha-chadash yutzlach l'lokeyach davka b'mikleh she'achin yimhol. In the case where, let's say, the original malveh is mohel, then the second shtar comes in. But then he writes, the second shtar is what's working over here. You're not going to be able to take from the first shtar. If there's no mechila over here, then for sure you're relying on the first shtar. But if there's a mechila, then the second shtar kicks in and he can only get paid from the second shtar. But either way, he's guaranteeing himself getting paid. Comes Gibran continues. Amar Amemur. Man dedain dinat de garme. Magbe be dame shtara me'elia. Mandelod da indina de garme. Magbe be dame niyara be'alma. Okay, now let's discuss this next point. We have a law called a garmi. What is a garmi? Garmi means, like it's from the word gorim, where a person can cause his friend indirect damage. How could you cause your friend indirect damage? The classic case, the Gemara brings in Baba Kama. Two neighbors had, let's say, fields. And one guy was planting wheat and one guy was planting grapes. And they were next to each other. And the fence broke between the fields. Now, all of a sudden, the guy's grapes started to go into the guy's wheat field. Now, it turned into kelayim. So, indirectly, he caused his friend damage by not fixing the wall. So, therefore, there's a machloket in the Gemara Baba Kama. Is the one that is gorem hefsed indirectly, you call him a garmi, does he have to pay or doesn't he have to pay? Is a garmi, if it's direct, guy goes and burns his friend's field, that's direct. We're talking about over here where it's an indirect damage. Does he have to pay according to the halakha or not? So again, what I want to say like this, this is a classical case of a garmi, which means I bought a shtar. Mm-hmm. Now you come along, you mohail. Mm-hmm. Now you caused me a loss here. I paid you money for the shtar. I paid $1,000. I paid whatever the money is to buy the shtar. Now all of a sudden I go to the lover. He tells me, I'm sorry, I'm not paying you. He was mohel. So indirectly, you caused me a loss. So the Gemara says, man didain dina de garme, according to the rabbi that holds by the garmi law, that says, I get compensated. I can go to you now. I go to the original malveh and say, listen, you caused me a loss. Pay me the value of what's in the shtar. Meaning if the loan was $1 million, you pay me $1 million now. Because you were mohel, you got to pay me the full value of the shtar. You got me said over here. I bought the shtar over here. I had a shtar that was worth $1 million in my hand. And you, by doing something, you caused me a loss. But according to the opinion that says, he doesn't dine dina de garme, this indirect, the only claim he could come along and say is, listen, I only owe you the paper. All you bought is a piece of paper. And you're holding the paper already. And what I saw, yeah, I showed you a piece of paper with a shtar. That's the only thing I owe you. I don't owe you anything else. And the paper's in your hand already. Therefore, he's off talking, doesn't have to pay him anything. So that's the machloket now. Does the original malveh, after he's mohel, have to compensate the buyer of the shtar? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, man, the one that says, if you give hefset to your friend, so he's able to get demesh tara me'alya. Kol ahov. שבתוכו, ומען דלא דעים פלוקתה בבבא קמא פרק בתרא, ורבי מאיר איתלה דינא דגרמי כדתניא נתייאש המנה ולא גדרה. זאת אומרת, where the fence fell down between the fields, הרי זה קדש. קדש meaning now the field becomes כלאיים וחייב בחריותו. כלאיים וכאן מעלן, כבתי מגבי בית דמן ניירה בעמל. And you only get the amount of the worth of the paper. כלומר, אומר שלא מאכלו אלא נייר. What do I sell you? I sold you a piece of paper. And you hold it a piece of paper. הרי זה בידיך. כמה גמרא continues. Kabbalah says, there was a story. In one of these cases where a guy was sold the shtar, it was mohelet, they came to Betin, he said, I want my money, the guy was caused me a loss. The chafya rafram de Rav Asher, rafram forced Rav Asher, ve'agbe be, and he made him pay ki kishura litzalmeh. Like a guy that buys a beam for his tzilim, for his statue. What do you mean? That's it. Kafir Aflam Rav Asher Sheba Adin Lifter Rav Asher. There was a law that came in front of Rav Asher. The Sibibu Vikifu Bada Ayot. The Agbe Medina de Garmi. At the end of the day, the rabbi said, there's a Garmi situation over here. And therefore, you caused your friend indirect loss. You have to pay. But not only did he make him pay, he was so meticulous. The Gemara says, Kikishura Lissalme. Kiloma Gibui Gamur Kod I've said Dignikmo. They analyzed the case. Every loss. And monetary loss that was causing this, the rabbi made him pay. So careful, like a person when he's buying a beam to make an image. When a person's, let's say, building a statue or something like that, he wants to make sure that the beams he's buying are straight or smooth. So he's very mitagdik. So he's saying, the rabbi was so mitagdik, kishura litzalmeh, to every penny to make sure this was part of the loss, and he made the gorem, they have said, pay. So that's what you're saying. He was very meticulous in extracting the money because he held that we are dan dina de garme. Comes the Gemara continues. Amar ha-memor meshemed Rav Hamma. Okay, new story. Hayman de'ika ale. You have a guy, he has some debt on him. What is his debt? Ketubat isha u'ba'al chof. Okay. He owes ketubat to his wife, but he also has credit, he owes money. He owes a loan. Now, what assets does he have? V'itle ar'a v'itle zuzeh. Okay, he has real estate and he also has monies, cash. So the ba'al chov misadkin ale bezuzeh. So the law is, the guy who you owe the money for the loan, he gets the money. Which means you borrowed money, you pay back money. The isha misadkin ala ba'al'a. And the lady, you pay with the karka, which is, we learned earlier several times already, that there's no shi'abud on metaltelin for the ketubah of a lady. She's so mechda'at on the karka, and therefore she gets her payment from karka. Okay, that's the first law. The next law is like this. Well, actually, the way the Gemara says, hai kedine, dai kedine. Each one according to its law, which is the law of the ketubah is ketubah gets paid from karka, and the law of a shtar ba'al chov gets paid from money. Each one according to his law. Now that she just points out, hai kedine, zeh love ma'ot veze samcha al shabud karka. Right, the one that lent money, he's relying to get back money, and the lady's relying on karka. Vehi lo natna klum, right? Because she didn't give any monies, right? She just has a chov of a ketubah. So therefore, she's not relying on money. Now, v'im b'shvil nechses son barzel nishumim b'ketubah, maybe we'll tell her she did give monies. She brought into the marriage nechses son barzel, which are properties where they become his property, and he already sets a fixed price that he's going to pay her at the end of the marriage. Hu zakha b'miyad, which means he's zocheh on the nechses barzel at the beginning of the marriage. V'zu sedaftani b'ketubah al shivud hakarka. What he does is, the money that he owes her for the son Barzil already, he puts in the ketubah to be leaned on the karka. So therefore, the lady's mind, on, even though she brought in stuff, she didn't give him things, but her mind is, he's just going to add that money. She brings in a field of $1,000, let's say, right? He gives her a set price. Listen, if there's a divorce, I'll pay you $1,000 just for this field. If the field goes up, he benefits. If the field goes down, he loses. He's a son Barzil, right? It's a fixed price. So he puts that in the ketubah as money he owes her, but it's mortgaged already on the karka. There's a lien on the karka. So the Gemara is saying that there's a difference between a bal chov and a ketubah. Now the Gemara says, V'ilo ika ila chad ara. Now let's say the guy, same case, but he only has one parcel of land. V'ilo chazya ila lechad. And it's only enough to pay off one of the creditors. Who gets it? The baal chov yehavin an le, the isha lo yehavin an na. You give it to the creditor with the debt, the one that lent you the money, but you don't give it to the lady. Why? Why does the lender come before the ketubah? It's going to say, my ta'ama, yoter mima she'ish rotse lisa, isha rosa lehinnaseh. Because we have a rule, more than a man wants to get married, a lady wants to get married. And therefore, we're not worried over here of a problem that if you're not going to pay ketubot, that you're going to cause ladies not to get married, because they're going to say, oh, we're not going to get married because we're not going to get ketubot, if we're going to stop the marriage process. We're not worried. You know why? Because we have a rule. A lady wants to get married. And therefore, even if it's a little difficult, like in this case over here, by getting the ketubah, we're not worried that it's going to stop her from getting married, because she wants to get married, more than a man even. So therefore, even if you were a little hard on her in getting the ketubah, like this case over here, there's only one parcel, give it to the baal chov. And what does she get? She gets nothing. So you might say, oh, no, you can't do that to the ladies. And once the ladies know it's difficult to get the ketubah, they're going to stop getting married. Don't worry about that. The lady wants to get married even more than a man. Like Rashi, ve'lo chayshina nomar mishum hina. Now that she says a very important point over here, which is key to the case. V'davka shashtarot nichtevu biyom echad. It's talking about where the shtarot for the baal chov and the ketubah are dated on the same day. So therefore, really, no one has precedent. So in that case, already you say shtar chov. Avad im kad mazman ketubah higova. But if the ketubah is dated earlier, that hit first. And therefore, the baal chov cannot come along and take the karka when there was a start that preempted the original one. That's a very important... talk about that. They're written on the same day. That's the case that we're talking about over here. Amar le rapapa rav hama. So rapapa tells rav hama, Vadai de amritu mesheme de rava. Is it true that you said in the name of rava the following statement? Hai man de maske bezuzeh. Right? That you have a person that they're coming to ask money from him. Meaning,
he borrowed money. So they're coming after him for money. And he has land. And the Baal Hov comes along. And he tells him, hey, listen, I want my money. And he tells him, Zil Shekol Me'ara. And he tells him, listen, all right, you want your money? Go ahead, here's the karka. Here's the land. Go take the land and go sell it and pay yourself back. Amrina ne, we tell the guy, no. Zil Zavinat Ve'aite Havle. We tell the lender, it's your obligation. You sell the land, you get the money, and you pay back the debt, which means he cannot come along and tell the malveh, oh, you want to get paid? There you go. Here's the karka. Go sell it. Go get money. No. It's not my obligation. I didn't lend you karka. I lent you money. Therefore, the din that Rava said, what? It's on the obligation of the loveh to go along and sell the karka and then pay back. So it says, did you say that? Which is that what you said? Is it true that we matriyah the loveh to go sell the properties? Amar le, no. He said, no, I didn't say that. Why didn't he say that? Because every malveh, when he lends money, what is his da'at on? His da'at is that he's going to get paid back. But where does he put his trust? In the real estate. Because he knows monies, they come and go. But real estate is on the property. So therefore, when a person offers to pay back in real estate, the malveh has to accept it. The malveh cannot come along and say, hey, listen, go sell it. So therefore he asked him, did you say such a statement? It doesn't make sense that you said such a statement like that. That you make the loveh go trouble himself now and sell the karka. If he's willing to pay in karka, let him pay in karka. Because the malveh's da'at originally when he lent the loan was also on karka. So what context did you say this halakha in? Because it doesn't make sense. Understand again? So comes again what it says. So he told him, I never said it. I'm like, no, I never said such a statement. So he says, Ema li gufad de'ovda hechiyava. Okay, give me the context. What happened in the story where this statement came out? Amarde, this was a different story. Tole ma'ota be'oved kochavim hava. This was a case over there where the guy, the malveh, came to get paid, and he said, I'm sorry, my money's tied up by the goyim. He gave him some excuse. What do you mean tied up by the goyim? Rashi. Ma'ota yalo lefro ve'omer shil oved kochavim hava. He has monies. But he comes along and says, oh, listen, it's not my monies. The money really belongs to the goyim. And he has real estate. So he says, listen, I can't give you these monies. It's tied up. Take it from the karka. Who asa shelo kehogan? This guy did shelo kehogan. He lied. He was just trying to save his money so he doesn't have to give the money. So and what happened? The rabbis found out. They investigated the case. They found that the guy was lying. By the time they found out he was lying, either the goy took it or the money was spent. And now what? Therefore, they treat the loveh shelo kehogan. Now, you know what? You sell the properties now. Which is, in a regular case, it's the malveh's obligation. Take the properties and sell them and pay yourself. In this case over here, where we said that the loveh has to sell the properties, was because he played games. When the malveh came to get paid, he said, ah, this money's not mine. It belongs to the goyim. And then what? The rabbis investigated. They found the guy's lying. But by the time they finished their investigation, the money was gone. So now we tell the guy, listen, you're a wise guy. You tried to hide the monies and give excuses. So you know what? Now you're making you sell the karka. The guy says, what do you mean? I never have to sell the karka. You're right. In this case, we're going to knas you. You have to sell the karka. That's when he said the deen is like Rava in that case. Comes the Gemara and says, right, that's the Mefashim say. That's why the Rosh also learns that he was just saying the money is not mine. He just wanted to push the malveh away so he doesn't take that money. So then he writes over here that, right, by the time they investigated it, the money was gone, like we said. Okay, we're going to continue further. Okay, so Rav Kana tells the papa, Ledidach, according to you, the Amar Piriat Baal Chov Mitzvah. Okay, there's an opinion that says that paying back a debt is a mitzvah. Where's this mitzvah in the Torah to pay back a debt?
So that she says, they learn it from Masechet Erchin, Mitzvah alav lefroa chobo ve'le'amit devarav. Because the Pasuk says, Hin Sedek. What is Hin Sedek? Hin literally means your weights should be justified, justice. Your weights should be true. But the word Hin also can mean yes. So the Gemara is saying, Hin Sedek. Your yes should be Sedek and your no should be Sedek. Meaning, you got to keep your word. And therefore, when a person borrows money, so you're saying, I'll pay you back. So then when a person pays his back, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of keeping his word. He's keeping his yes. Yes. So therefore, it's a mitzvah to pay back a debt. So the Gemara said, according to that opinion that says, Pidi ad mal chod mitzvah, Amar lo nihali da'abid mitzvah amai. Let's say the guy comes along and says, I'm not interested in fulfilling mitzvot. Meaning, it's not an obligation, it's a mitzvah. Yeah, mitzvah. I don't want to do the mitzvah. Now what do you do to him? Amar le tanina. So we have a braita on this over here. Bameh devarim amurim. Which means, when do we give a guy malkut? When does a guy subject himself? We give him lashes. That's talking about on a lo ta'aseh. When he commits a lo ta'aseh, a negative commandment, you give him lashes. Aval b'mitzvat aseh. But if a guy transgresses a positive commandment, how do you transgress a positive commandment? In action. Kegon she'omrim lo aseh sukkah. They tell him, listen, build a sukkah. He doesn't want to build it. The inner oseh. Lulav. Listen, go buy a lulav, go shake the lulav. The inner oseh, he doesn't do it. Makin oto ad she'tetze nafsho. So they beat him up, the betin, until he dies. Which means, on a lo ta'aseh, after you transgress, so that's a law that what? You get 40. But when it comes to a positive commandment, to get a guy to do a mitzvah, they give him lashes, rabbinically that is, until he does it. So therefore, if a guy comes along and says, I'm not going to pay, I'm not paying the debt. You're not paying the debt? I don't want to do this mitzvah. You don't want to do this mitzvah? Boom, they start beating him. You still don't want to do this mitzvah? They start beating him. I should say, I'm sure. So the Rekiva Eger asks a question over here. So what's the logic of this malkut? This is a malkut that you're giving, not as a punishment, but as an incentive to do the mitzvah. So then, if that's the case, why only by mitzvah ta'aseh? No, you should do the same thing by mitzvah lo ta'aseh also, which means a guy now is about to do a lo ta'aseh. We should beat him up to refrain from doing the lo ta'aseh. If the whole thing is to abstain, so just like you're trying to abstain the guy from not doing an aseh, we should beat the guy up to abstain him from doing a Lotas. Why does the Gemara say only mitzvah aseh you do this? So the Kivega says, you're right. According to the Shitav Daran, you beat up a guy just as much on a aseh if he doesn't want to do it, and if he's about to do a lotaseh, you also beat him up. When it says you only give malkut on a lotaseh, it means after the action. Which means after, let's say, he did the lotaseh, now we give him malkut, which as a punishment for not doing that. But if he transgressed the aseh, and he didn't do the aseh at all, you don't give him malkut for that. But on the incentive factor, just like you give malkut to get a guy to do an aseh, you give him malkut also to not do a lo ta'aseh. And that they give more. But the 40 was said dafka after the person transgresses, because you might say that after he transgresses, give him more malkut, maybe his incentives, he won't do it again. No, that's only 40. That's the Rekiva Eger's question, that's his answer. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ba'amine Rami bar Hamma Merav Chazda. Okay, new case. Hare ze gitech velo tetgarshi bo ela lachal 30 yom. Okay, let's get the case. Guy comes along, goes to a lady. This is your get. On the condition what? That you won't be divorced with this get until after 30 days. Valcha, so she went. V'nichato b'tzidei Reshut HaRabim. She puts the get in the side streets of Reshut HaRabim, which is now really in the side streets. We have to analyze, is that a private Reshut? Is it public Reshut? Is it considered her domain? Not her domain? Mao. So Amar de en amigureshet. So he answered the bank and says, there's no Gidushin. Why? Because bottom line, at the time that the get took place, the get was not in her domain. So therefore, it's not a get. So the Gemara says, Midirav Shemuel. Now, how do we know from Rav and Shemuel that Ena Migureshet?
Teravu Shmuel da Amri Tarvayu, Vehu Shit Sivurin Munahin Brishu Tarabim. Which means, remember we learned in our Mishnah a case of Rabbi Tarfon. The case of Rabbi Tarfon was a fellow, let's say, that have perot. Perot come to the into the marriage. So we said, Kola Kodem Zakha. Which means over here you had a case where you have the wife going after the perot, you have the Yorshim going after the perot, you have Balhov going after the perot. So we said, the rule over there, when the perot come in, and you have three people jockeying for the perot, Kola Kodem Zakha. Whoever gets there first is okay. But Rabbi Shmuel explained, it's only talking about when they're in a public domain. Because if they're in a private domain, the Yorshim get it directly. So he said over there that it's talking about whether they're in the Rishut Terebim. Then he also said, V'sidir Rishut Terebim Kishut Terebim Damu. And he said that the side streets have a deen of Rishut Terebim, which means the side streets are considered also like a public domain. And therefore, let's go back to our case. Person has the get. He gives his wife the get. He says, I'm giving you the get now. It's not going to be hal until 30 days. She went, she put it in Sidir Rishut Terebim. That's not in her domain. Sidir Rishut Terebim is not considered a domain. Therefore, when 30 days came, when the get's supposed to be hal, it was not in that position. Therefore, ena megureshet. That's the deen of the Mishnah. So comes again what it says, adrabah. What do you mean? I'll tell you the contrary. Megureshet. She should be megureshet. Why? Mid Rav Nachman. From Rav Nachman's statement. Why, what did Rav Nachman say? The amar Rav Nachman amar abba bar abu ha'omer l'havero. Guy tells his friend, meshoch para zu. Tell him, listen, pull this para, v'lo tiye kenuya lach, Ad la shim yom. I don't want the kinyan to take place until after 30 days. You got the case again? The guy says, listen, you see this para over here? I want you to pull it. We had this case earlier. Pull the para. But I don't want the kinyan to take place until when? After 30 days. So it says, kana. Va'afilu omedet be'agam. And even if after the 30 days, the animal is standing in agam, it's standing in a swamp, which we're assuming is like, it's not a private area, it's in the swamp, still the kinyan is a kinyan. My love, hainu agam, hainu tzidir ishut rabim. And we're assuming what? That an agam is like tzidir ishut rabim. And therefore what? Just like you tell me an agam, he's koneh, so to the lady should be migureshet, because an agam and tzidir ishut rabim, the chavala we're saying, are the same level. Gemara says, lo, agam lehud, v'tzidir ishut rabim lehud. No. Agam is a private area, and Tzidir Rishut Rabim is not. Therefore, you have no idea. So, according to the first version of this story, in a migureshet. Why? Tzidir Rishut Rabim. Aye, but we said the guy can make a kinyan after 30 days if it's in the agam, because agam is a private area. Mashiach Tzidir Rishut Rabim, if her get, that the guy gave her a get, said, listen, you're a migureshet to me, take this get now, 30 days. Good. So she went, she took the get, she put it in Tzidir Rishut Rabim. 30 days came, it's in Tzidir Rishut Rabim. In a migureshet. Why? Because we're saying that Tzidir Rishut Rabim is like the Rishut Rabim. Aye, but we said Nagam, you can make a Kinyan like that. Nagam is private. This is not private. That's the first version. Ika de Amri, second version. Second, cannot act. It has to be in a domain to get.
Well, I know. When she puts it after 30 days, it activates in Rishut Rabim. So
it's nothing. Doesn't activate. So comes the Gemara and says, another version. What's the other version? Ika de Amri. Amar le, this is a reverse version of the same episode. Guy gives a get to his wife. Right? 30 day hold. After 30 days, or the 30 days, she put it on the Tzidir Rishut Rabim. So the Gemara starts off this version by saying, Migureshet. It is Migureshet. How? Mid Rav Nachman. From the story of Rav Nachman, that was the story with the para. Just like the para. He said, I'm going to pull the para, and you're not going until after 30 days. And in 30 days, where was the para? In Agam. The tzidei reshut rabim ki agam dame. Oh, so therefore, if you say the tzidei is like agam, it'll be migureshet. So the Gemara says adraba. On the contrary, in a migureshet, but Rav Shmuel, because Rav Shmuel said that what the tzidei reshut rabim is and reshut rabim are the same thing, and therefore in a migureshet. My love, hainu reshut rabim, hainu tzidei reshut rabim. So the Gemara is saying according to this version, when Shmuel said that the perot were in reshut rabim, we're assuming there's no difference between reshut rabim and tzidei reshut rabim. Therefore, it should be not migureshet. Lord, Rishut Rabim Nechud, V'sidir Rishut Rabim Nechud. The Gemara concludes according to this version, no. They're separate. Which means Rishut Rabim, no. Sidir Rishut Rabim, yes. So according to this version, really, the Gemara is concluding, according to both sides, you could say, Migureshet. Because agam is like tzidin, it's like an agam, the kinyan works, so it also works. And when Shmuel said the shoot to Rabim, it's ownerless. He said, we said where he said it, but maybe not by tzidin. So therefore, in the according to this version, she is migration. Now, Tosafot over here just asked a fundamental question on the cases, and we have to understand it. If you remember when we gave the case of the para was a case where the guy had to say the word ma'akshav, which means a guy cannot make a kinyan by saying, I'm going to pull the para, and in 30 days, the kinyan is hal. Kinyan don't work that way. He has to say, I'm going to be moshek the para, and in 30 days, the kinyan is going to be hal de mafreya retroactively. That's the way that kinyan works. So Tosfot comments on the third Tosfot on the daf. Ha'omer l'havero, meshoch para. B'da'amar lo me'achshav mayri. You have to say the case to my way. He said, "Ma'achshav ki de'uki le'ayel besof yishas shenaflu v'gabe get nameh de'ba'ayel ami barachama ayli nami b'damar ma'achshav." And the case of the get as well. When the guy's giving a get to his wife, and he's saying what? That it's going to be hal in 30 days. It'll only work if he says, in 30 days it works retroactively, because you want to connect to the kinyan that you're making now. You can't make a kinyan today and then say it's on delay for 30 days. He has to say that what? The kinyan I'm making now is going to be hal in 30 days retroactively from now. That's the way Tosfot sets up the case. Tosfot continues. Dilo amar me'achshav. If you didn't say the word me'achshav in the case of the Girushin, kevant ena Girushin ela hashtu zhim, hayat sarik shiye o b'hatzera, which means there's no question, which means if you're going to say after 30 days that everybody agrees, it has to be in her possession, it has to be in her courtyard. Now, v'kashe. So now Tosfot has a question. Dehechi pashit mederav u'shmuel. How did the Gemara want to answer a case from Rav and Shua in the case of the perot? Dehata mai me'akshav ika. Which is in the case of the perot, what was the case? The lady now has a perot came to us. So we said, what? Kol ha'kodem zakha. Which means, it was in the Shuta Rabim. If the Yorshim get there first, if the Baal Hov gets there first, if the lady gets there first. That's not a case of me'akshav. Which means, we're trying to bring a proof to a case of Girushin. What's the case of Girushin? I want it to be hal now. But while it's not going to be hal now until after 30 days, retroactively. Okay, so you're working with the retroactive factor. Okay? And you're saying if it was in the Tzidei Reshut Rabim, you want to say, Ena Megureshet. You know why Ena Megureshet? Because like the case over there where the Yorshim don't get it if it's in the Reshut Rabim. I'll tell you why the Yorshim don't get it in the Reshut Rabim. Because there's no ma'ashav factor over there. Here, maybe it worked, because it's not working on what it was done. That's working the mafreya. And bottom of the mafreya was in a, it was in a hand. How could you bring a ra'aya from a case that's not retroactive? And the case of the Mishnah, we're discussing right now. Where the pirot right now? They want to make a kinyan now, immediately, to the Shut Rabim. So it's a no man's land. So that's a question that cannot bring a proof to a case where he said ma'ashav, I want it to take place from now. Because bottom of, if you say ma'akshav, it happened, there was, she was holding it. So what's the comparison? So Tosfot says, I'll tell you what the comparison is. Da'achi pashit, ki'echi de'hatam, just like over there by the case of the perot. Afagav de menadin, de b'sha'at mitat ava, nechasim b'chazkat yetomim, b'chol makom shem. Because really, according to the strict halakha, once the father dies and leaves perot, these perot, I don't care where they are, go to the Yoshim. Which is strict law, the Yorshim are the ones that Yoresh. Afad afilu akid, and the Hadush of the Mishnah is, Imhem b'reshut rabim lo kanu yetmeh. But still the Hadush is what, if they're in the reshut rabim, it blocks the yetomim from being koneh. Ha'achana me'echad amal la'ahad ezekitech me'achshav, v'ot kreshi abu adach shim yom, te'menadin yesh al deshkut beget mi'adach shim yom, v'chom makom shi'i. Afilu akid b'reshut rabim amigureshet. Which is just like in the case of the perot. It should be an automatic. And still we say, no, if it's in the Shut Rabim, the Yoshim are blocked, so to my get, even though she said Me'achshav, which should be automatic, because it's working retroactively, if it's in the Shut Rabim, it should be blocked. That's the comparison. It means the Yoshim should have gotten, I don't care where it is, Yoshim or Yoresh, it doesn't matter where it is. And still the Mishnah said what? If the Perot are in the Shut Rabim, they're just like everybody else. First come, first serve. So to Ovi, even though she said Me'achshav, which was really Me'achshav, I'm holding the get right now. The get's retroactive. At the time that the get's hal, I was holding the get. Because she's going retroactive. Still, it's got to be in her domain. That's what the Gemara brought. Rayot back and forth. Comes the Mishnah. Hamoshiv et eshto henvanit. Now let's say a guy He puts his wife as the shopkeeper. He has a store. And he puts her in charge of the store. You're in charge of taking money, merchandise, all that stuff. Hamoshiv et ishto hanvanit. Oshimina apotropia. Or she makes, he makes her an apotropos. What's apotropos? You're the administrator on my estate, on my funds. She's in charge of the assets, right? So what's the deen? Areze mashbi'a kozeman shirse. He can make us swear anytime he wants. He can come along and say, swear to me you didn't take any merchandise. Swear to me that you didn't take any money from the register. Swear to me that you didn't steal anything over here. He constantly can make us swear that she's being honest. That she says, shelo ikba biyada klum. Swear that she didn't hold money for herself. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu al pilcha val isata. Forget about making her an administrator on his assets. He can even make us swear on her dough, which is, that's one of our obligations that he has to the wife, to make dough, to weave. Swear you didn't take any extra bread. Swear you didn't, you know, sell any yarn and stuff like that. Even on pitcha and isata, he can swear. So now the Gemara starts to analyze. Iba'ilu. Rabbi Eliezer, al yedei gilgul ka'amar, o lechetehila ka'amar. Okay, very important subject. There's a concept called Gilgul Shivu'ah. What's a Gilgul Shivu'ah? Gilgul Shivu'ah means like this. Once a person is hayab, or a mandated Shivu'ah, meaning if I can make you swear a Shivu'ah according to the law, once you're swearing a mandated Shivu'ah, I can be Megalgel. Megalgel is, I can say, you know what? I also want you to swear for that item also. I could roll in other Shivu'ot as well. Whenever you say Gilgul Shivu'ah, I wouldn't be able to make you swear that second Shivu'ah on its own. But once I get you on Shivu'ah A, I can say, you know what, and swear it to me on Shivu'ah B. So we want to know, Rabbi Eliezer, when he said you can make us swear on the dough, was that working with the Gilgul rule? Meaning like this. Really, he's holding, she's in a apotropos in the store. She's running the store. All Rabbi Eliezer is saying, once already you're allowed to swear her, make her swear that she didn't steal from the store, you could also say, you know what? Now I'm making you swear for the store. I want you to swear for me also that you didn't take any dough. Is that how it's working? Or is he saying, no, no, no. The swear on the dough, the chitayda. You could just make a swear that she didn't steal any dough. It's not a gilgul shivua. Which, to what extent did Rabbi Eliezer allow, or Rabbi Eliezer say, she can make, you can make a swear on the dough and the pedcha? Let's read that she inside, please. Ayyedi gilgul ka'amar. The Shamael the Tanakama, because Tanakama said Amar Mashbi'a l'apotropsot. Right, because Tanakama says you can only make a swear if she's the administrator, or she can make us, you can make a swear in the store. Ve'lo al pilcha v'isata, and you can only make a swear on the dough. Ve'afilu al yedei gilgul shivu'ah l'apotropsot. And according to Tanakama, you can't even migalgel it. That's not a shivu'ah. The kivan the shivu'ah l'apotropsot d'rabbanan, which is the whole shivu'ah that you're making a swear that she didn't take anything when she's the administrator. That's a rabbinical shivu'ah. Which means he's not sure that she stole. He's just coming along and saying, you know, swear to me that that's a rabbinical shivu'ah. It would be the right if he's coming along and saying, I know for sure you stole. Okay, now she has to swear to protect herself. He's not doing that over here. He's just saying, swear to me that you didn't take anything. So it's a banan. When it's a rabbinical shivu'ah, we don't make any gilguls with it. שווה חריתי, ואתה רבי עזר למאמר, איך עדו שיבה חנברית מיגו למשתבעה אפוטרופסות, משתבעה למי עדי גלגול, עד פרקה וסתם מגלגלים את רבנן. It could be רבי עזר is coming on an argument in Tanakh and saying, you know what? You can't make a גלגול on the רבנן שבועה. Which means, the first שבועה for the חנברי is a רבנן שבועה to everybody. But maybe the Bazaz is going to come along and say that once you get around the רבנן שבועה, you can even swing around the שבועה that she didn't take as though. Or do you say, לכתחילה, what does it mean? Even if she's not an administrator. Stop, she's not running the store, she's not the administrator. You can just go down the middle of the thing. Hey, listen, when you made the dough for Shabbat, did you steal anything? She says, no, swear to me you didn't steal anything. You can just swear off the bat. So comes the Gemara, is going to bring a proof now. Let's read the Gemara again. Ibayidu. Rabbi Eliezer, al yede gilgul ka'amar, o lechetahila ka'amar. Tashema. Amru lo Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara is, because it's a very important brayta. They told Rabbi Eliezer. So the rabbis told Rabbi Eliezer. En adam dar im nahash b'chfifa. a person cannot live in the same basket as a snake. Which means the rabbis were saying really over here, you can't force a lady to live under these conditions. You're telling us she has to make a shivua now and a dough. How can you force a lady to live under such conditions? Which means there's no trust over here. Now the Gemara analyzes, based on that statement that Tanakama told Rabbi the Ezer, that a person cannot live in the same basket with a snake, with a snake. If you say that the shivua on the dough is the chetahila, shapir. I understand what Tanakama is saying. Which is, if the guy could just come any day, I swear to me he didn't steal from the dough. Hey, Tanakama says that's too much. Yeah, how could you force a lady to live under such conditions? Good, that makes sense. But if you're saying that it only works this shivua al yedei gilgul, may nafkala mina, which means what does she care? Which means, listen, if everybody's agreed that he has a right, if she's the storekeeper, the shopkeeper, he has a right to make a shivua. So if Rabbi Eliezer was just saying, and you know what, once he's ready, he has the right to give make the shopkeeper, he can swing around the shivua on the dough. What does she care if she didn't steal any dough? What does she care that if she's making a shivua? Why would Tanakama come along and say, hey, you can't live with a snake? I mean, the shivua that he's making her make as a gilgul shivua shouldn't bother her so much. That must be from the fact that they said to him, a person cannot live with a snake. Must be they understood that the Bilez was saying, you can make her make the shivua and the dough, the chetahida. And that already, she's on guard the 24 hours a day. She cannot live like that. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so. The Amra, even if you want to say it's a gilgul shivua, it's living with a snake. You know why? Kevan de kadayik batray kulehai lo matzine dadur ba'adach. He's so midayek on me, even though he's only making it as a gilgul shivua. I can't live with such a guy. Which is, whenever he has a chance to make me swear that I didn't steal dough, he's taking advantage of it. I can't live in such a house. So if really, if you consider being the Ezer holds, it's a gilgul shivua. And still the rabbi said back to him, you can't make a lady do such a thing. That's causing her to live with a snake. That every time he's going to make a shivua that's legal, you're going to let him throw in that she didn't steal from the dough. That's too much. So that Gemara wants to bring another proof. Tashema. Okay, let's take a case like this. It's possible when a person gets married, he's able to right away tell his wife, you know what? I'm not gonna make you swear. And that's already a legal document, or he says it, and therefore he has to live by that rule. I'm not gonna make you swear. But let's say he didn't poter from the shivua. He got married and he says, I have my right if I want to make you swear on assets and stuff like that. He didn't, exempt himself. He wants that right to be making her make a shivua. Roshiva hen banit. And what did he do? He made her a storekeeper. Or shemina putrapa. Or he made her an administrator on his assets. Hare ze mashbi'a kozeman shirse. Okay, he can make her swear anytime. He can walk into the store anytime and say, hey, listen, did you steal any money today? No, swear to me you didn't steal. Anytime. Lo shiva hen banit, but if he didn't put her as a shopkeeper, velo mina apotropa, or he did not make her an administrator over the assets, enu yachol hashpi'ah. So that's Tanakama's opinion. You can't make her swear. Stam, you can't go swear. Swear to me you didn't take bread. Swear to me you didn't take yarn. That you can't do. Only if she's an administrator. Rabbi Eliezer omer afal pi shelo shiva hen banit, even if he didn't make her a shopkeeper. Velo mina apotropa, and you didn't make her an administrator over assets. Hareze mashbi'a kozman shirze. You can still make a swear. On what? She's not an administrator of anything. She'en lecha isha. She'lo na'asit apotropia sha'a achat b'chaye ba'la p'lcha v'chaysata. Listen, one thing she's in charge of. She's in charge of the dough. And therefore you can make a swear on the dough. So from this bright you see clear, it's not a gilgul shivua. Because she's not running the store. And she's not running any administration. And still what? You still make a swear. It's the katayla. Amra amru lo. So the rabbi is told to be the Ezer. And Adam Darim Nahash Bikhmifa. Hey, how can you keep a lady living under certain circumstances? She's living with a snake in the same basket, which the guy doesn't have any trust. Shma mina lechitaila shma mina. But you see from this give and take that Rabbi Eliezer was saying, lechitaila, you can make us swear. When Tanakama was saying what? No. You only make us swear on the administrative stuff, which means whatever she's in charge of, or the store and stuff like that. And you don't even do Gilgul Shivua. You don't make any gilgul on the other stuff, because in adam dat b'chifa, b'chifa im nachash. There's no trust over there. You can never make her swear under her kitchen responsibilities. Now the lady will go crazy. There's no trust in such a marriage. Where the bila is, it says the opposite. Not only could you make her swear, you could make her swear even lichitayla on those items in order that she didn't steal these things. Now, based on this, there's an interesting Yerushalmi. It's brought down by the Rambam that he says over here that if, let's say, a lady broke kelim, she's in the kitchen, she broke a glass or something, she broke a plate, she's piturat to pay. Because if you can keep on deducting, there's not going to be shalom bayit forever. Because now she's going to be scared. She's going to get to work in the kitchen. Every time the husband comes home, how many glasses do we have left? How many cups? How much plates and stuff like that? So the halacha says, because en adam dar b'nahash, you don't force a lady to live with a snake. So therefore, the hakamim say, she breaks dishes and stuff like that. Of course, in a normal way, it does not have to pay.